the same thing. One definition of it, well, let me just read the whole thing. I wrote it down here. It's ecclesia. It says a calling out, a popular meeting, a religious congregation, an assembly. And it comes from two words that's put together. The other one, it says, from, out of place, time, or cause, and the, I hope I'm saying it, callio, to call, bid, call forth, an assembly. So there's no way that just one person by themselves can be the church, right? Now let's look here at Matthew 16, and we're going to start reading in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? If every person, in order for you to be born again, you must answer this question for yourself. You cannot be born again without believing that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the anointed Son of God. He says, and they said, some, oh, I didn't read that. 15, he saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And notice what he said there. When he said the word Peter, let me read it in the Amplified. It gives a little more understanding. It says, and I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large rock, or a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, speaking of himself, a huge rock like Gibraltar. This is like a mountain, unmovable. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the power of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Let's go on here with 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, he said there, he said, you're going to be called Peter, a little rock. Like one you could pick up out of the driveway, you know, or one that you could possibly move. He says, but how many knows the church is not built on Peter? He says, I'm going to build my church. What he's talking about there is the revelation that Peter had of who he was. He is like the rock of Gibraltar, one that cannot be moved. You know, the Bible talks about there's two foundations, you know, one is sand and all of that. But he says the one that is built on the rock. It's not Peter. It's the revelation of who Jesus is. And notice that when you go on down, he says, and I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I used to see that as the gates of hell coming at the church, you know, and it can't do anything. But I see it a little different way now, because it says it won't be to her detriment, and the gates of hell can't keep us out. Amen. Talking about the church. Now, when I say the word church, a lot of times we think a building, you know, and I know what we mean by that when we say we're going to church. But actually, technically, that's not right. You remember I showed y'all a puzzle, and I took a piece out of the puzzle, and I held it up, and I said, is this a puzzle? Some said, yeah. How many knows there's no way that piece can be a puzzle? That is exactly the way the church is. The Bible says we are members one of another of his body. All I am is a member in the church, or a member in the body. Now, let's look at Ephesians 5. Let's recap just a little. The church, we are a part of the church as a whole here, in the whole wide spectrum of things. The church is all over the world together. Here in Ephesians 5, we're going to start in notice 21. This is just a continuum of what's before. But it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now notice verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of what?
Church.
The church." He says, and he is the Savior of the body. Because the body of Christ is the church, and the church is the body of Christ. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto whom?
Christ.
So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. He says, husbands, love your wives. Notice this. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we know that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But do you realize what this is saying here? It says Jesus gave himself for the church. It doesn't say a lost person. It says for the church. Without his death, burial, and resurrection, there was no church and there could be no church.
Right.
The minute that you get born again, you get placed into the church. Even though you've not yet assembled, maybe not yet assembled together, maybe you got saved in your living room, but the second you get born again, the Bible says you're brought out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. You have been made now a member of the body of Christ, even though all you've done is repented and received Jesus as your Lord and made into the church.
Yeah.
And it says here that Jesus gave himself for the church. Now notice this, it says, husbands, love your wives, how even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, let me ask you this. For the husband, according to Scripture, is there anything that the husband is supposed to love more than the wife? According to Scripture, the only thing that I can find is the Lord. Right? Why does he use this analogy? He tells us later on, he says, I speak as a mystery, he said, concerning Christ and the church. Because this is the very same kind of relationship, the earthly relationship is the same one that we have with the Lord. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Is there anything more that Jesus loves than the church? I can't find it. Is there anything the husband is supposed to love more than the wife, other than the Lord? No. Is he supposed to love his kids more than his wife? Absolutely not. Is he supposed to love his job more than his wife? Absolutely not. Is he supposed to love his neighbor more than he loves his wife? I know the scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But he also says here, husbands, nurture her and cherish her as you do yourself. So Jesus died for the church. All of us. Everybody that would. There was no church until he was resurrected. Now he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. Notice what he said there. The Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. But yet we got Christians that are going around talking bad about the church. They won't assemble together with the church and by themselves. They're only a piece, only a part, only a member of the body. But because they believe wrong, it causes them to do wrong.
Yeah.
And see, I know why the devil does it. The devil is not terrified of just me and you. He's terrified of the church.
Amen.
Where the church comes together and is the glorious church, and we begin to, as Jesus says, our head, move as one man. One person's finances together. One person's spirit together. Right? We've all been born of the same spirit if you've been born again, right? So that is why he causes people to believe that they by themselves are the church. But if I believe that I am the church, Jesus loves me right there. And yes, he does love me as an individual. But he's did things for us together as the church that we don't get as an individual. Just like this. There's places that you're supposed to be. Oh, here we go. There's places that God calls you to be. And if you are in the wrong place, you're not going to get what you would if you was in the right place. For an example, and this is way, this is like 5 pages into my notes, and we ain't even got the second one. When the Apostle Paul, which was Saul, was converted and then made the Apostle Paul, y'all remember what he told him to do? After that conversion, after they helped him get up, you know, because he's blind and everything, he says, go down here to the road that's called Straight, and I will tell you. Y'all remember that? We don't need to turn to it, do we? Because I really don't have time. Okay, what if the Apostle Paul had said, Jesus, just tell me now? Y'all not saying nothing. See, I thought I could get everything I needed to wherever I wanted to. Gosh, y'all real quiet. See, I thought that I could run to this church and over to that church and over to that church, and I didn't have to belong to any part of the body. Oh, y'all get real quiet. But Jesus, remember, Jesus was the one that was talking to him. Told him, said, go to the road that's called Straight, and I will tell you. Well, what did he do? He went to the road that was called Straight and went to the house that he told him to go, and he didn't move. Then God spoke to the man, what was his name? Ananias? Spoke to him and told him, okay, I have a man over here at this place. Y'all not saying nothing. This place where I told him to go. And now I want you to go over there and tell him this, 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 and this. And I mean, he's even scared too. You know, he tells the Lord, but Lord, I've heard these things. I'm paraphrasing these things about him. He says, but he's a vessel of mine now. So Ananias goes over there to the road that they call Straight and the house that the Lord said, and tells the Apostle Paul, which was not an apostle necessarily at the time. He has the calling, but he's not acting in it right yet. And tells him what the Lord said. So now, if God told me to be somewhere, I can't just think, I don't care. I'm not just talking about going to assembling at the church. If God tells me to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and says something he wants to show me, guess what I better do? I better get up at 2 o'clock. Why? It ain't coming at 8. God don't follow my schedule. He follows his schedule, his time, and his place of things. So everybody has a place. There's places of hearing. You need to be in a spiritual place of hearing, but you also need to be in the place wherever he has told you or directed you to be. Because if not, you're never going to be the fullness of what he's called you to be and the fullness of what he's called you to do. Because you skipped the part where you didn't go here at the place that he told you to. If you're having this unction to read your Bible or read a certain chapter or whatever, don't throw that off. He's wanting to show you something. He's wanting to tell you something. I'll do it when I get off work. I'll do it when I get the dishes washed. I'll do it tomorrow. No, honey, you better do it now. Why? It may not come tomorrow. So we get all these different conceptions about God from wrong thinking, and the devil helps us and all that. He don't play on anybody else's schedule but his own. And he has a time and a place for everything. Now, where were you at? Oh, yeah. I remember now. Y'all got me off on that. That's 5 pages down my notes. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. The Lord loves, cherishes, and nourishes the church. All these books was written to the church. He says, for we are members of his body. That's talking about you as an individual. Of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. He's still on that same analogy. The Bible says when we're born again, we have become one spirit with the Lord. Right? Now remember that, don't you? He says, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we see here, Jesus is the head of the church. You see, we like to amen and say, yeah. He said, their wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, just as the church does to the head, which is Jesus himself. Do you realize that the church is the glory of the Lord? Where do I get that from? Over there, what is it? 1 Corinthians about 10, maybe? Somewhere around in there that it says that the husband is the head of the wife and the wife is the glory of the man. Y'all don't remember that verse?
Yeah.
Well, in this same analogy that he uses here, the parts have to fit. What do I mean by that? It'll be the same analogy all the way through. Do you realize in the book of Revelation we're called the bride of Christ?
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are. It's still that feminine, that woman part that he's talking about. Why? Because Christ is never female. But the woman is the glory of the man. The church is the glory of the Lord. So that's why he says that he's going to make her a glorious church. We reflect his glory just like the moon reflects the sun. Aren't we called to be just like him? Aren't we called to finish the works that he started? Yeah, absolutely. Let's go on here to Ephesians 1. I think that's where I want to go, since we're in Ephesians. Now, we've seen here that Jesus is the head of the church. He loves the church. He cherishes the church. He nourishes the church, right? And he's the head of it. And the body of Christ and the church is the same thing. So here in Ephesians chapter 1, I don't want to start at 15. I would start at 15, but for time's sake, let's just pick this up at 19, I guess. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward to usward? He didn't say to me, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be what?
The head.
The head over what?
All
things to the church. Which is what?
His body.
The church is the body of the Lord. It says the fullness, notice that, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you understand? I was reminded of something this morning. Do you understand there's connections that God makes with people? There's times that, I'll use myself for an example. There's times, let me back up here. Y'all pray for me because there's things I'm having to learn as I'm going. I've never taught this way before. So I'm getting insight and revelation as I'm going and I'm studying. And then I got to come and teach all y'all, you know, about whatever the Lord is telling us. But anyway, the church where we went to, Faith Restoration, they believed in prosperity. You know, every now and then it would be, I'm talking about financial prosperity, to be specific. They believed in financial prosperity and all that, and every now and then would bring it up, you know, and always tithing done, you know, and all that, and talked about giving and everything. But it wasn't necessarily a major thing. There are some people, they major on certain things because it's part of their calling. There's others that they don't. Kind of like a praise and worship leader, he thinks we ought to praise and worship for an hour and a half. You take a pastor that, I mean, wants the word, he don't even think we need praise and worship. That's just get the word. Y'all got one of those. Y'all ain't noticed that every time he gets up here, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. An evangelist thinks we need to just break out of the church and go to the world. No, we need to stay in the church, learn a little something, then go to the world. But anyway, getting off on my subject here. So, what all these things. I mean, you've got preaching on Facebook. You know, you've got preaching on TV. You've got preaching on radio. I mean, there's no reason that you should be without preaching and good anointed preaching. If you want it, you can find it. So anyway, we get born again. We start going to church up there and everything. They mention that, but they're not real big on it. Now, those ministries that I just mentioned, the Facebook preaching, the TV preaching, all this other stuff, to the Christian that is able to assemble is like a vitamin. See, we all assemble here together. So guess what that's coming out of my mouth this morning might be some taters. Guess what we're all eating?
Taters.
All of us is eating taters. Right? Throw a little broccoli in there with it. All of us are eating broccoli. So when we leave here, we have all had the same nourishment. Right? Spiritually speaking. All right, then when I go home and I do the things that I need to do at home, there's times I'm drawn to certain ministers. There's other times listening to them about makes me want to throw up. Not that there's anything wrong with them. I'm just trying to explain this to you, how this is. Like there's one right now, love him, have listened to him for years, but right now every time he comes on, I turn it. I don't want to hear nothing he's got to say. And there's nothing wrong with him. Why is that? Because whatever it is he's on right now, the anointing he's got on him right now, God's not wanting that anointing to me for this time, at least anyway. But then there's others that right now, I can't listen to them enough. It's like eating when you're hungry. I listen to them and right down in here I can feel it. It's like I have had a good physical meal. Why? The word is spirit food to my spirit man. So I'm trying to make a long story short here. So those things that you get outside of the assembly, those connections outside of the assembly, the church assembly, that God hooks you up with, comes to you. And then God wants them to come to us. See, when I get born again and you get born again, there is no I no more. I can't find it in the scriptures. There's only we, him, and us. There's too much I in the church. There is no I. There's him and us. And us does whatever him says. It's supposed to be. Right? Well, anyway, for those anointing things, God hooks, he knows what anointing he's placed on Scotty's life. Right? Knows the full intent of what he's called him to do, to be, minister to, all of that. Well, Scotty comes from a very poor family. Never had nothing much. I mean, there's so many of them. There was times they didn't even have enough to eat. We don't know it, but God has called him to minister on prosperity. It's a calling for him. It's not just a sermon.
Right.
We go to church. Now, we had been watching outside of our church, preaching on TV, you know, when they had praise-a-thon. Oh, gosh, we just loved it, you know. Day and night preaching 24/7, you know, back years ago and everything. And there was little things that he would pick up here and there about financial prosperity. They would be preaching on it, bring up the scriptures. He would read and study the scriptures, could see it's of the Lord. And it was just like what I said to him, like a good meal. We go to church one night. And there's an apostle there. His name's Apostle Gilbario. He's with the Lord now. He calls us up there, going to pray for us. And he's standing in front of Scotty, which I'm standing beside him up front of the church. And he says, I see you. He's talking about in the spirit realm. He said, I see you. First time we'd ever met him that I can remember. He didn't know us. He said, I see you. He said, you want to be the one with the fistful of dollars. And Scotty went like that. See, God says he gives you the desires of your heart.
Right.
Don't always look at that so selfish. I want something out there and God gives it to me. He does that. But then also those desires that are in there are of him. Why? Because he knows the plan that he has. So anyway, he said, I see you. He said, and you want to be the one with the fistful of dollars. He did like that, you know. Now, see, at this time, I'm not. So he ain't talking to me about it. But anyway, he tells him, I see you, you know, you want to be the one with a fistful of dollars. And then he laughed a little bit. He said, you have chosen him, God, to teach your people how to prosper. There is an anointing on him to teach God's people how to financially prosper. Everybody don't have that. There are others that do have that, but everybody doesn't have that. Now, why do I say that? Because, see, where it started was not in our church assembly. Like I said, they was big on tithing, giving, stuff like that, but not to the point to where Scotty is. And so as vitamins and things, we would eat the meals at our church, but then we supplemented also outside of our church, God hooking us up with different anointings on different ministers to come alongside our anointing that he has for us as an individual. And then Scotty brought it to our church assembly. They didn't know it at the time. I don't know, for some reason. I know God told him to, or he wouldn't have done it. Brother Brad started coming over there. We sit on the front row. Brother, during praise and worship, Brother Brad, I'd see he'd come over there, and he'd say, Brother Scotty, you take up tithes and offerings this morning. He don't got a clue what's in him, other than what he hears him testify comes out. Oh, Lord. God would show him things, you know, showed him like a master link and a chain and tithing is hooked to that and this, that. I mean, all kinds of stuff and everything. And I mean, like, especially like the first couple of times that he asked it, I'm not kidding. The church would hoop and holler. And I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? I know him. But what are they sensing? That anointing that is on him, but is also hooked to the anointing is out there that is now coming to the church assembly, feeding the people and inspiring the people about financial prosperity. And the way that God does that. Tithes and offerings is a way that he does that. But yet, sad to say, there's a lot of Christians believe that the church wants your money. Honey, the church don't need your money. Why? Jesus is our head. See, the Bible talks about a man whenever he goes to war. I don't pay for them tanks. Are you crazy? I probably could pay for one of them in a lifetime. And they don't expect me to. I don't pay for my shoes. I don't pay for my hat. I don't pay for my helmets. I don't pay for my ammo. I don't pay for nothing. All I do is enlist and go and do whatever they tell me. Do you understand that's the kingdom? You enlisted, and it's not your job to take care of you. It's his job, but he has a way to do it, and we got to work with him. So that anointing that God hooks you up with, don't break those anointings.
Come on.
They're for your benefit and the whole. God never looks at just one. When God sees you, he sees everybody. When God sees me, he sees everybody. Why? We are all, if we're born again, his children, and every one of us has a part to play connected to each other in his big plan. So what's that mean? It means I'm going to have to forget about me, think about him and you. When we first started this church, when you pioneer something, it's hard. Even though it's the will of God, it's hard. They didn't want us to be a church here. The people that live close around, what was it, 500 feet? Because we had to have this property rezoned, it couldn't be a church. We was having Bible study illegally and didn't even know it. Well, because we had to have this rezoned and everything, papers had to be sent out, and they didn't want this to be a church here. Are you kidding me? The church, according to Scripture, is the restraining force in the earth. We just read the verses, whatever the church binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Where is Satan and his stuff? Heavenly places, right? Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or high places. We have the church is the only one that has the keys to the kingdom. That can unlock the doors of the devil. See, he's got people out there that's bound up. He's got whole cities out there that's bound up. He's got people out there that they've got 100 different gods and they pray to them every day and they give them offerings every day that are not gods. So the church has to be the church and go get them. And I'm not talking about we leave this building from assembly. This is a requirement. Now what y'all get off on all that for? Everybody that's born again, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Christ lives on the inside of you, the anointed one and his anointing. And every one of us has callings in our lives. And don't just think the callings is like a calling to ministry, because it's not. You get born again, you enlisted for a sign up of 24/7 calling. When he calls at 2 o'clock in the morning to pray, guess what we're supposed to do? Answer the call. But sad to say, according to scriptures, y'all remember whenever Jesus said this, he said that God told us to go out and compel people to come into the supper, right? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, he goes out there to one, and they bid him to come and all that. He says, I can't. I bought an oxen set. Y'all too quiet. Ain't that what it says? I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Can't come, Lord. I bought an oxen set. You know what that means? I'm too busy working, God. Yeah. Oh, we didn't just say that, did we? Are you serious? Did we just say that? Yeah. I can't, God. I got to work 3 jobs. I got to take care of my family. Where did you get that verse? That is First Imaginations. He said, he's our Lord. Right? Our Lord. What's that mean? The Apostle Paul said, I have made myself a slave to Christ. Jesus didn't make us a slave, but we're supposed to make ourselves slaves to him. And it'll be good. But he tells them, I can't come. I bought an oxen set. Or I can't come. You know, every time the church assembles, I got to be at work. Well, when the church gets out of here, you're going to be here.
That's right.
Y'all not saying nothing. Because read the end of the story. Goes on. He puts out another call. Somebody ate it. Somebody else. I can't, Lord. I've married a wife. Are you kidding me? We're on our honeymoon. Church, what are you talking about? Come to the supper. I married a wife. And back in those days I've heard, I don't know if it's so or not, but something like, you know, they get married and they would like spend a year together just sucking each other's air, you know, I guess, or something. You know, their honeymoon was a year or something. I don't know if that's so, but I've heard that or whatever. Nothing comes before the Lord. Not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your job, not my own will. I can't tell you how many things that I want that God says no. Not even my own will. He goes on down, you know, and there was some more or whatever. Don't miss the plan of God for other things. So you got people, God sets them in a church assembly, a local church assembly. They may be called to the nations, but God has put them somewhere to be in a church assembly when they're not going out on their trips to the nations. Why? Feeding. We're all connected to one another. We all supposed to have a supply. But one of the things that I have seen since we have come down here, I live a sheltered life up there, I'm telling you. But since we come down here and I am the pastor's wife, I know about everything just about that goes on. You know, unless y'all hide some stuff, and there has been some. But anyway, you know, is a calling. What do I mean by that? I feel it in here. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor. I feel it in here. So I start running. Y'all not saying nothing. Just because you feel something don't mean you're supposed to run off and start something.
Right.
You stay wherever he puts you until he says go. Right? He's Lord, right? I have seen that drive people right out of their place. Get to thinking they know more than their leadership. Oh, y'all not saying nothing now.
Right.
Listen, I have revelation that Brother Brad don't have, and I know it. Brother Brad has revelation that I do not have. But y'all ever heard the saying in the world, don't bite the hand that feeds you? That's why I say, I have never and I will never speak one wrong word about him. Why? That is the hand that fed me and helped me to become what I am to this day. And that is an anointing and a grace that God has put to me as a gift, and I will never disrespect it.
That's real word.
See, you start seeing these people, they have some dreams, and they have some visions, and some may be God, and some may not be God. But then you're going to get up, and the first thing you'll start seeing is disrespect for leaders. Y'all not saying nothing. Disrespect for leadership. Where in the scripture did Jesus ever say disrespect anybody? When you start seeing that kind of disrespect, you better know somebody's listening to the devil. Because that's a wrong spirit. And that'll be the first thing if they're not going into what they feel this calling is. And we've all got one. Some, I mean, they're all different. Some will differ in variations and all of that, but you don't know nothing until he says. Why? He wants to get you out of your place and out of time. Because see, when you get, or you get offended. I know more than Teresa knows. Oh, good. I'm glad you do. You're going to be required. The more you know, the more is required of you. So, hey, have at it. You know, I'm glad for you. I hope every one of y'all go and do and get greater revelation than I have. You know, that's part of why I'm up here now. But when you start thinking down those lines, if you're not, it starts moving you. Why? To get you out of your place. Why? I heard, I think it was Keith say this before. Out of grace, or out of place, out of grace, fall on your face. I have seen it. There's been some that left here, not right, and not calling any names or anything. We knew it wasn't right at the time. Scotty tried to tell them that it wasn't right at the time. And you know what they're saying? You're not going to change my mind. Have at it. I don't want to. I'm just telling you you're wrong. Go do what you got to do. Far be it from us to try to hold you back. See, they thought they could run a church better than what we could. And maybe they can if you're led. And we're not. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. See, if we endeavor everything that we do when we come here, whether you like it and I like it or don't like it or whatever, you can't run it no better. Why? Because the head is running it. So then when you get offended or whatever, or you can do a better job and you run out there to do a better job and you last 3 years and the people are scattered, you know it was you. So when we first come down here, I'm telling you, I had a hard time. I should have been more mature than what I was, I'm sure, because that depends on me working with the Holy Spirit and the Word and yielding and all of that and everything, and I had lived a sheltered life. So we come down here, and I seen people running wild. They go here and there and don't give and don't tithe and when I want to, and I'll come to church when I want to, sign up for ministry, and then we can't find you no more. Been saved 50 years, and we got to hunt you down to find you over at another church when you're supposed to have been over here doing this. Y'all not saying nothing. And all this stuff was going on. And then I got the pressure of being the pastor's wife, and everybody has an idea of what I ought to be doing, where and saying, and everything else, and it ain't none of what y'all think. I'm usually an offense to most. I'm good sandpaper. God usually may get the rough edges off people, and vice versa. So when we come down here, there would be times that I would leave here crying. And I'm telling you, I wanted to leave this place so bad I couldn't hardly stand it and go back to my church. Why? They loved me. They nourished me. They cherished me. They cared about me. And now I'm sent down here. And they don't love me. And they don't cherish me like they did up there. But one of the things, and you'll find this every time when you're right, one of the things that the Holy Ghost would bring up in my spirit every time and I would see while I'm driving on my way home crying is you. Now I know some of you wasn't here in this building at that time, and some of you was. But I would see the faces of the ones that assembled, that God called them here to assemble. And I would think, what's Bubba going to do? What's Ashley going to do? What is Sandy going to do? What if they backslide? Oh, gosh, I want to leave this place so bad, but God, what about them? Why? That's a right spirit. Why? Jesus loves the church. Yeah. And even though it might be hard on me and you at different times, because we have to be long suffering with each other. I'll leave that with me now. And we have to be forbearing with one another, right? And help everybody tote their burdens and faults, right? Ain't that what the scripture says? That's not easy. And you got different personalities, and God has called us out of the world and called us together for fellowship with his son Jesus and each other, and that ain't easy sometimes. But when we do it, when we yield. See, there's one thing that he says don't break, and he said it is the unity, right, of the bond of peace in the spirit. See, we're never going to agree all on doctrine. Me and Scotty don't agree 100% on scriptures. I know that's hard for y'all to believe, maybe, you know, but it is. I don't agree with every one of y'all, and I'm sure probably everything I say up here at Sunday school, maybe you don't agree with. All of our doctrines may not agree with one another, and they never will. I think that's something that the church, as the body of Christ, we've not understood. We try to rally around all these different things. It don't matter to me if you believe in tongues and the Holy Ghost or not. You can go to heaven without him. Because you get born again and he comes on the inside. But now, he'll help you get there. He'll help you get a lot of stuff, find a lot of stuff, do a lot of stuff while you're down here. But if you don't want him, I'm not going to be against you. Why? Because we have to make sure we stay rallied around the head. That's our common ground. See, the Bible says he give all of these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, right? He says, until we come to the knowledge of the faith of the Son of God. See, that's where God's taking the church. Every one of us may be on a different level of faith. Every one of us may be on a different revelation of him or whatever. But he is our rallying point. We can all agree on him, right? He is the Savior of the body. Without you seeing him as the Christ, the Son of God, you cannot even be born again. So for every born again believer, listen, if you don't rally around that, if you've not been born again, but you have what you can, listen, there's the Church of Satan out there. It's his assembly. But the one thing we can always agree on is Jesus, who he is, what he does. And the thing that he's trying to accomplish in the church is to grow the church up to where she begins to move as one man. Being led by the head, or woman, since we're the bride of Christ. One person, or not all this individualism. Why do you think he says over there in Romans 12, he says, renew your mind. Why? We all got to come to think a lot. And think like he thinks. Not think like each other. Good Lord, I don't want some of y'all saying. I'm talking to Facebook right now, not y'all. I know y'all don't want it in mind, I'm sure. But he says, for every one of us, when we get born again, to renew our mind and it'll transform our lives. Right? So when we come together, we're supposed to think alike. We're supposed to believe alike. But we only do that is focusing on him, not me focusing on trying to be like you. Right. It's all of us endeavoring to become and be like him. Y'all remember over there in Psalm 133, I think it is, and I'm going to have to stop because our time is up. Y'all remember what that says over there? Verse 1. He says, it is like the anointing oil, representation of the Holy Spirit. It's like the anointing oil, he said, that was poured on where? The feet? The head. Jesus is the anointing one in his anointing. On him first. But notice what he said. That was poured, the anointing oil was poured on the head that ran down the beard. Where's the beard? On the face? Maybe you're a hair in the beard. I don't know what you are. But as long as you're a hair in the beard, guess what? You're going to get some oil. It says it ran down on the beard of Aaron and then down on his clothes all the way down. Why? It all starts from the head. Talking about him. I'm not talking about the head of this church as far as people-wise or whatever. But if you ain't in that, guess what? You're going to get dry. You're going to get cracky. You're going to need some lotion. I'm serious. You're going to get dry, cracky, and spiritually dry and cracky. I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything? I think we're going to be on this.